everyone. I'm Jason. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks that you speak to us in the Bible. We pray that you would give us ears to hear what you have to say now. And Lord, we pray that by your Spirit, through your word, you would chip away at the unchrist-like bits in our life and you'd transform us to conform to the likeness of Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. Being excluded from things is very hard. Recently, I took Eliza, my daughter, to this athletics competition, and they had really strict rules, and if you didn't meet them, you simply couldn't participate. There was a whole kind of technical regulation section, and so you had to do everything they said. You had to wear the right uniform, and it had to have the right sponsors on it, and if you didn't have the right sponsor on it, you had to put tape over the sponsor when you competed, or you weren't allowed to compete. If you had certain brands of energy drink, like Powerade, I think it was, you had to either rip the label off and not use it or put tape over the label. Because I think Gatorade or somebody had the televising rights to sponsoring it. If you turned up to your call area 45 minutes beforehand, that was okay. But if you turned up any closer to the event than that, you weren't allowed to compete. You're excluded. If you did one false start, if you got to the 100-meter starting line, even if you'd travelled from Perth and you're 13-year-old and this is your first ever one of these events and you're on the starting line and you're a bit anxious and you twitch and you go early, you're excluded. You have to walk off by yourself in front of everybody. It's really bad. You actually feel so bad for the kids who can't compete. Some of them don't even get out into the arena because they're disqualified before they even get to the arena. They're so inflexible with it. But they're trying to run an efficient ship, and that's what they have to do. We're looking at Matthew chapter 8 to 10 in church this term. A couple of years ago, you guys absolutely probably don't remember this, but you looked at Matthew 5 to 7. That's why we're picking it up here in Matthew chapter 8. But I can give you like a 3-second summary of Matthew 5 to 7. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks to the crowds and he blows their minds by telling them that in order to be part of the kingdom of God, to not be excluded from the kingdom of God, you have to be perfectly heartfelt obedient to God. In order to be part of God's kingdom, he demands perfect heartfelt obedience. That's what Jesus just told the crowds on the mountain. And here he is in this section that we just heard read coming down the mountain. And everybody's got that, man, how am I going to be part of the kingdom? Ringing in their ears. They all feel like they're going to get disqualified, excluded. And as the crowds come down the mountain, with the fear of exclusion ringing in their ears, we meet a bloke who is absolutely, without question, excluded. Cannot enter. Can't be part of the people of God. But Jesus brings him in. And he actually tells us that he does this sign to show us that no matter how excluded, how far off we might feel, he can bring us in. Now, I don't know if you've ever felt left out or excluded before. Maybe you're one of those kids who did get disqualified on the starting line and had to explain your parents why they spent $3,000 on airfares to get you there. Maybe you felt excluded at church. Maybe you felt isolated, like you don't belong. The comfort for us today is, no matter how far off we feel, Jesus has both the compassion and the power to bring anyone in. Let's turn to Matthew 8. We're going to spend what seems like a long time in 4 verses, but hopefully it'll be helpful. I find this part of Matthew really engaging. Here we meet a man who's excluded from God's people. That's why he's in here. That's why Matthew's picked this out. Have a read from verse 1. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." So large crowds follow Jesus down the mountain. They're all thinking, man, there's no way we're going to be good enough for God. We just don't have the perfect heartfelt obedience that the law requires according to Jesus. These crowds follow him down the mountain, and in the midst of the crowds comes this thing that you just would not see in a crowd in the first century. You just would not see this in a crowd. In verse 2, it's a man with leprosy who comes and kneels before Jesus. Leprosy isn't necessarily what we call leprosy today when you read it in the Bible. It's a term for all kind of seemingly incurable infectious skin diseases. This man had that. And as a Jew, that meant he was cut off from God's people. He's excluded. In fact, it was really clear in God's law, if you had a skin disease like this in the law of Moses, you were unclean. You were labeled unclean. That meant you couldn't be in the presence of a holy God or his people. You can read this through the week. Leviticus 13 and 14, part of the law of Moses in the Old Testament, said if you had an infectious skin disease like this, word for word, you must live alone outside the camp of the people of God. You must remain unkempt. If you approach people, you're to cover your mouth and yell out, "Unclean, unclean." I'm not making that up. That's how black and white it was that these people were excluded. I find myself wondering as I read this, when this bloke came through the crowds as they were coming down the mountain, did he have his mouth covered yelling out, "Unclean, unclean," as he came to Jesus? He should have, right? Anyway, we see he makes a desperate move. He must know something about Jesus. We don't know what he knows. This is one of the things that I love about the New Testament. I love about the Bible is we don't always know everything that's going on. This bloke must know something about Jesus because he comes to him and he's absolutely convicted that Jesus is able to make him well. What does he know about Jesus? Well, we know back in chapter 4, Jesus was doing some healings. Has this bloke heard of those? Has he seen something of Jesus himself? We don't know. But he's convicted in verse 2. That Jesus can make him clean. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus can take him from excluded to included. He knows Jesus is able to do this. We don't know how he knows, but he absolutely believes it. The crowd, they must have felt a bit like we felt in the COVID pandemic when somebody in the room coughed. They must have been like, what's this guy doing here? Because he shouldn't be here. He can't be near us. He's going to make us unclean. Yet here he is. Because he believed, he knew Jesus could make him clean. It's terrible to feel cut off. I was at a church once and one of the members came and said to me, or came and asked me, could I talk to their daughter about coming back to church. Their daughter was like an adult, but when she was in her teens, she was pretty rebellious and she hooked up with this bloke and ended up getting married to him against all the advice of her closest friends and her family. And then she got divorced within sort of 12 months later. And she just dug her heels in over it. And the elders at the church, this is before I got there, they said that she couldn't be part of the music team anymore because of her attitude to the whole thing. And her dad said to me, she just feels like a leper when she comes to church. So she doesn't think she's meant to be here. She doesn't have leprosy, but she feels unclean, which is kind of heartbreaking. This man with leprosy here, for a Jew, he was cut off. God's law specifically said he had to live alone, to live outside the camp, yet somehow he believes Jesus can bring him in. Now, it's certainly not infectious skin diseases that cut us off from God today. If it was, I wouldn't be here because I noticed I had some eczema on my beard this morning and I put some cream on it, don't worry. What does cut us off from God? It's a bit of an overshare, I'm sorry about that. It's actually pretty good. It won't gross you out if you see me. It's sin, isn't it? Sin cuts us off from God. Regardless of whether the elders at church know about our sin or not, The reality is Jesus has just spent three chapters explaining to this large crowd of people that unless you obey God from the heart perfectly, you don't meet his standard. We're excluded. A holy God can't be in the presence of sinners. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but before the creation of the world, God existed in perfection forever. Father, Son, and Spirit, not experiencing any sin at all. He just can't be in its presence. The truth is, for my friend in our old church, if we were living in Old Testament Israel, she would be cut off from the people of God. That's just how the law worked. God doesn't sit loose to sin. He's holy, which means he's completely separate to it. It can't be in his presence. The whole Old Testament law, the stuff to do with infectious skin diseases and mildew and different types of sores and what's happening with your walls in your house, it's all sitting there as a symbolic reminder that God can't be in the presence of impurity. He can't be. And every day with these little laws, whether it was to do with infectious skin diseases or mildew on your walls or the different kinds of foods you were allowed to eat, it stood as a big fat reminder to the people of God that God cannot be in the presence of impurity. Which means, according to the law, I would be cut off from God. You would be cut off from God. Our sin makes us unclean. It excludes us from being part of God's people. But the thing is, this man with leprosy thought Jesus could change that. And in quite a dramatic way, as Bob read to us, Jesus does. This is one of my new favourite verses in the Bible. It's really good. I'm probably not going to do it justice now that I've built it up. But Jesus makes this bloke clean. Have a look at this. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. So we need to unpack that a little bit. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Jesus doesn't have to do that to heal people. We'll see it again and again in this part of Matthew. Jesus doesn't have to touch people to heal them. Next week, when he heals the centurion's servant, he does it from a distance. He doesn't even see the servant when he heals them. The week after that, when Jesus calms the storm, all he does is stand up and say, "Quiet, be still," and the storm is stilled. The week after that, when he heals two men who are possessed with demons, all he says is, "Get out," and they get out. No touching. No special incantations, just his powerful word. Yet this man with leprosy, before Jesus utters the words, "be clean," he reached out his hand and touched the man. Did you know Leviticus 5 says, and I don't expect you to know this, I only know it because I read it in a commentary, right? Did you know Leviticus 5 says that if you accidentally come in contact with something that's unclean, that's a sin, and you are unclean. Leviticus 15 says, if you come in contact with something that's come in contact with something that's unclean, you are unclean. Could be their doona, whatever. You are unclean. It's like a virus among the people of God, consuming all who contact it, putting all of God's people at risk. So you just cannot come in contact with unclean things. And to be clear, again, Jesus does not have to touch this bloke to heal him. But as the man with leprosy falls at his knees before Jesus, in front of this crowd, who look on him like he's nothing, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I'm willing," he said. What's Jesus saying here? What's he willing to do? Is he willing to become unclean in order to make this bloke clean? Like, is he willing himself to be separated from God in order to bring this bloke near to God? Is he willing to risk getting this infectious skin disease? Is he willing to compromise his life in order to redeem this guy's life? What does this tell us about Jesus? Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I'm willing," he said. And for all the risk of Jesus becoming unclean, the opposite happens. "Be clean," Jesus said. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Jesus has just turned the tide on uncleanness. Uncleanness, it should flow from the leper to Christ, but instead cleanness flows from Jesus to this leper, and immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Or he was allowed to come back into the people of God. No more fear, no longer cut off from God, no longer cut off from his people. He knew Jesus had the power to do it, if he was willing. And here we see Jesus, he has the compassion. In 1987, that's a real year, Princess Diana was in hospital in the UK and she was visiting patients with HIV/AIDS. And she was filmed shaking hands with a man with HIV/AIDS, super famous, right? This is a massive thing in the 80s, because in the 80s there was this stigma associated with HIV, and it was kind of probably general consensus among punters that even if you touch somebody who had AIDS, then you probably got AIDS as well. And so it was a terrible situation to be in if you were somebody who was suffering with this disease. And here's Princess Diana setting the record straight. It was huge. It echoed around the world and it changed the way that people perceived people who were suffering with HIV/AIDS. She was a compassionate woman. You know, that's a bit different to what's happening here, because it's not a rumour. It's actually true that if you touch someone with an infectious skin disease, you might get infected. That's part of the title. And it's actually true that the law of Moses says that if you touch something unclean, even if it's an accident, which this is absolutely not an accident, then you are unclean. I mean, Jesus is compassionate for sure. But don't be mistaken, this is not just compassion. This is not just Jesus saying, "Hey guys, I've touched this guy, everybody should just ease up a little bit and be a bit nicer to him." This is Jesus miraculously changing this guy's life. He actually cleanses him of his leprosy. He had the compassion to do it and he had the power to do it. He's made it possible for someone who could never be near God to be brought near. Do you see why this is just after the Sermon on the Mount? I'm not going to explain that yet, but it's really important. You know, this teaches us a few things about Jesus. But one thing we must pause before we move on and briefly note is he's full of compassion for the unclean. This is what Jesus is like. Sometimes the church gives the impression that we're not about welcoming people in who haven't quite got it together. And so a lot of people think, "I have to get it together before I come to church, because I won't be welcome if I've not." I grew up unchurched. I remember the first time I came to church in my 20s, and I walked in and I smelled a little bit like cigarette smoke, and I was a bit conscious that everybody there in the room might see that I didn't look or act, or perhaps they might have known me from something I'd done outside of church, and I didn't belong. If churches are like that, that's not Christ-like. What's Christ-like? Well, he's full of compassion for the unclean, the outcast, the untouchable. You cannot read this passage and walk away from church tonight thinking, I've fallen too far. I haven't taken this seriously for too long. I've lapsed too much. This sin's beaten me too many times. You can't walk away from here reading this passage and go, I'm a lost cause. You can't even walk out of here and look at somebody in the street and say, they're too far gone for Jesus. What did verse 3 say? He reached out his hand and touched the man and said, I am willing. Jesus is compassionately for us. He wants all who are cut off from God to be brought near. That is the entirety of his mission here. And in the last verse of our passage, we see he wants this healing to testify to that, to testify that he actually can do that. Have a look from verse 4. Then Jesus said to him, that is the man with leprosy, see that you don't tell anyone, which is a super weird thing to say because large crowds of people are sitting there watching, right? But Jesus actually wanted to say, I want you to understand that I'm not a traveling miracle worker. I'm not like a genie in a bottle. I haven't just come here to grant everybody's wish. He says, to do what the law of Moses says. Go, show yourself to the priest. Notice that's a singular priest. Go, show himself to the priest. Offer the gift. All the stuff Leviticus 13 and 14 said that you have to do once you've been declared clean of your leprosy. Jesus says to do it as a testimony to them. Who is the them? Because he said, go show yourself to the priest, not the priests. So who's this a testimony to? Is it a testimony to the priest's whole family? Is it a testimony to all the religious rulers? Is it a testimony to the crowds watching on? Is it a testimony to the readers? Is it a testimony to us? It's probably all of those. You know, there are lots and lots of different manuscripts of the Bible that have been dug up through history, and every single one of them has a singular priest and a plural them. Jesus is saying, I want you to show people who I am and what I've done. You know, the priest would have studied Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. He would know. He'd be like a mechanic waiting for his first oil change. He would know exactly what he needs to do to properly have this person be declared clean in the eyes of the law. But you know what? He never would have seen it before. Because this just didn't happen. This is the thing about the law, right? The law in the Old Testament, it's a beautiful gift of God designed to help God's people stay pure and clean and holy, to be set apart for him. But the problem with the law is it just can't deal with the tsunami of human sin and impurity. It's just not enough. We need something that exceeds the law, because us trying harder, it just doesn't work. And so Jesus says here, go and show yourselves. Go and show yourself to the priest. Testify to what I've done. I've exceeded the law. I have the power and authority to make clean. You know, the Old Testament prophets talked about a day when God would come to cleanse his people. Zechariah the prophet, there's lots of this in the Old Testament actually. It talks about a winnowing fork and burning things with fire and refining things. But Zechariah the prophet, he looked forward to a day when a fountain would be opened to the people of God to cleanse them from their sin and impurity. That would be the day the Lord comes. It'd be like a fountain opening, cleansing God's people of their sin and impurity. Here, Jesus, the one that Matthew calls Emmanuel, which means God with us, Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest. Show them what I've done. Jesus is saying, I'm the cleansing and impurity that's to come. I'm the cleansing of impurity that's to come. I've come to cleanse people from sin and impurity. I'm the one. Jesus is he's the great unstainer. Friends, the testimony of this man's cleansing you know, Jesus says as a testimony to them, it's made its way to us. Isn't that profound? He said, go and show yourself to the priest as a testimony to them. And it's that testimony is carried down to us. Do you believe it to be true? Is Jesus the great unstainer? Can he really take those who rightfully ought to be excluded and bring them into the kingdom of God? Like my friend who basically gave the finger to her parents and closest friends and said, I don't need to listen to anything you say, and then her life was ruined within 12 months. Can this remove her stain? Can Jesus remove her stain? Or my mate who slept with his best friend's girlfriend, can this remove his stain? Or my friend who spent most of his life trying to make as much money as he possibly could, screwing over whoever he could in the process, and he was really good at it. Could his stain be removed? Or what about my friend who pretty much made a mockery of Christianity all her life until on her deathbed she wanted to find out more? Can Jesus remove a stain that is a lifetime deep? Sounds impossible. Do you know what's impossible? Cleansing a first century leper. But Jesus reached out his hand. He touched the man. He said, I'm willing. Be clean. And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. This is here in Matthew's gospel to tell us that it might be impossible for us to come near to God, but Jesus makes the impossible possible. God's law demands perfect heartfelt obedience. We are all excluded. But Jesus has done what the law can't do. By faith in him, we can come near to God. It's an incredible gift. Eventually, Matthew's going to show us that Jesus does that, not by reaching out his hand to touch us, like he reached out his hand to touch the leper. Some people say, I tangibly felt the hand of God on me. That's not what Jesus does to cleanse us, though. Jesus reaches out his hands on the cross, and he takes all of our sin and our uncleanness on himself, and he deals with it. The moment we come to him, recognizing that we need his grace, immediately we will be clean. If you put your faith in Jesus, if you're here because you know that he's not only willing but able to cleanse you of your sin, can I tell you that as we move through this very small part of Matthew over the next 9 weeks, you're going to be encouraged because it's riddled with Jesus' compassion and power to cleanse the unclean. Unless me and Tristan butcher the talks. But I'm confident you're going to be encouraged by the compassion and power of Christ to cleanse the unclean. And my prayer for our time in Matthew this term is that we might see Jesus' power and compassion more and more, and that we might be so convicted of in our hearts that we actually look at people in the world who are far off from God, and we actually want to share with them the compassion and power of Jesus as well. That'd be a great outcome of our time. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that despite knowing every bit of our life, you sent Jesus into this world. We thank you that Jesus is both willing and able, both compassionate and powerful, to cleanse us of our sin when we come to him in faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.